Radio, I'm Carl Amar.
When you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks, it's time to tune into The Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
Just don't understand.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. It's not perfect, but it's a great deal better than when we grew up. 100 men standing in the street hoping for one job, selling apples on the street corner. That's one of the things we were dissatisfied about, and you don't see that much anymore. I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in stealing from somebody.
While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years. And by the world's standards, that's hardly more than yesterday.
Some sound wisdom. Some sound wisdom. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you are tuning in today. And heap of news. It's a heap of news. Wow. I swear we go for the weekend and we come back and it's just like this huge avalanche of stuff. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah? Good, yeah. Good. Lots of things. And you're welcome to call up 888-673-1450. Here we are in our local hour. And so this would be the time to talk Utah, if you'd like to talk Utah. I also know that we're listened to all over the place. And so I know our issues are very similar to yours wherever you're listening to from. So that made no sense. To from. Wherever you're listening from. There you go. I welcome you. Make sure you get over to Defending Utah. They could use your support. And also, they have got terrific articles going up every day. They've got wonderful CDs to DVDs to learn and to really, I mean, God, talk about getting educated. Oh, my gosh, they do a great job. And they're there to do truthful news. And so it's, believe me, in this day and age, it's becoming a rare commodity. So defendingutah.org, get over there, subscribe to their newsletter, at the very least get that, and get some DVDs. They're just great training ground. You can send those to grandkids or train yourselves or what have you to become a more effective citizen in this great state. So... So there's a new royal baby.
I'm excited.
Did you hear? I'm surprised they actually said boy, because they're raising it as it. They're raising it as just how whatever they decide, whatever the
so
child decides.
So maybe it's not going to be the future king. Maybe it'll be the future queen.
Exactly. So we don't know. So we have no idea. So,
Well, we can thank God, then, that it's seventh in line,
whatever it will be. And I'm so curious to see how they do that and why. You know, it's funny, though, is when people are reporting this, they have to report boy or girl. Otherwise, the people aren't happy. They want to know what it is, right? With the birth of the baby.
They've reported boy.
Yeah, they reported boy. I just find it so fascinating.
Is the royal couple upset?
Probably. They probably did not want the gender out. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to report on the new royal offspring. It's actually a royal reptilian overlord, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway. We'll go with offspring. Offspring's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We know how this goes.
Well, yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate you. Let me tell you, back in the 1700s, there was a disagreement that King George had with his son over how he was raising his children. And that led him to a new law that they put out. And this law was like a decree. It was a centuries-old decree, but it was a decree that would give the queen all of the say-so over the kids. She gets to decide if they do air travel. She decides where they go to school.
I think that's still in effect.
Yes,
that
it is.
Decree.
Yeah. In fact, it's not legally binding, so she doesn't have custody, but it is the thing that they do. And
well,
those kids are hers, basically. She gets to call the shots. She tells them where they get to go and when they get to leave the country.
Yeah. Not too many of those royals like to say no to the queen.
Yeah, exactly. So they say, well, it isn't an act of parliament, but it's a royal prerogative established in the 18th century. So therefore, she gets to call the shots. And knowing that, would you marry into that family knowing that she gets to call the shots on your kids? I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be okay with that. I'm pretty sure most parents wouldn't be, but for some reason they are. So they'll keep giving her the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just kind of an interesting little tidbit, if you will. we'll be talking about this in the show. Dr. Pesta will join us too. But they changed climate change to transformational. It's what do you do when you have a problem like the narrative and you keep changing it, but you don't want to look stupid? Well, because it keeps getting debunked. Well, you keep changing the name. So now it's transformational change.
And they've extended it all the way out to 2050.
Yes, I mean, it's not the 12-year we're going to die. That's become so, oh, so common. But yes, I remember me talking to Evan Sayet on Friday, his book, Apocalypse Now, which is so funny, you guys, because it goes through every single time we've been told we were going to hit our demise within a decade and how we didn't. Anyway, it's pig pictures. It's great for the liberal progressive who, you know, likes pictures and illustrations. Anyway, too funny. I want to talk about a couple of things. For some reason, the Deseret News has a love affair with Evan McMullen, and I can't quite figure it out. I've even asked them about this personally, by the way, in a meeting. I asked them, you know, why it is they touted him as a candidate, built his campaign for him, and had written so many articles. I think it was up near 70 articles, wasn't it, about Evan McMullen, and why they never questioned anything about him. And a lot of people got mad at me when I came out and said, Evan McMullen is not who he says he is during the election. And we're really angry. I got a lot of angry emails. You know, how dare you say that? He looks like the good guy. The mayor came out, remember? He said he prayed about it.
Yeah.
That was the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, well, it turns out they never questioned him about Hillary, only Trump. Isn't that convenient? So he's constantly in the news talking about Trump, and he hates Trump, obviously. And so they again asked him about the Mueller report. And again, just like Romney, throws him under the bus. I mean, vehemently throws him under the bus again. And basically, they had a whole article about the fact that they asked all these people for their opinions on Barr's testimony and on the Mueller report and so forth. And of course, Evan was right there in line. Evan said, even when asked, United States Attorney General William Barr won't say that he's troubled by the Trump's campaign receptivity and failure to report Russian offers of assistance. The betrayal of Trump and his men have no limits. And here he is citing because they didn't report Russian offers of assistance. To whom? The whole FBI that was betraying them, or who are they gonna tell anyway? You know, I mean, why go there? You know, let's just go off this track of. And so he ends it with, "It's truly sickening." Just like Romney said. See, they seem to be always on the same page. And I always think it's funny when they shove a microphone in his face and want his opinion on anything anti-Trump. You will have Evan McMullen in the lineup. Well, and usually Romney, because he's right there to throw him under the bus. So, and I know a lot of you are getting so tired of it. A lot of you that I've talked to have actually voted for Romney and are so mad that he keeps doing this over and over again to get airtime and to get all these articles written about him. But, and I know how frustrated you are because I'm frustrated too. Why do they keep shoving the microphone in the face of a CIA agent who ran for president predominantly in Utah to throw Trump off the rails in Utah and to grab those voters? And he was failed at it, two-bit candidate. Why do they keep putting a microphone in his face?
They like him.
They really, really like him, in the words of Sally Field. They like him. They do. They love him. They adore him. They'd love to give him a big cyber hug because they go to him every 5 seconds.
And he says what he's told.
I know. He is just, he's so deep state. And I wonder if people really got that. And I know that it really, really made people angry when I actually read from his own website how liberal he was, and people didn't want to believe it. They wanted to believe his speeches. And so people showed up in droves to his speeches and then said, well, he's such a good guy. And I thought, What are you basing that on? Are you even reading his own site? So, anyway.
Well, I wouldn't say droves. I went to his thing at Dixie Center.
Not down here in droves.
Yeah, no, it was empty.
Yeah,
down
it was
here.
Empty. Remember how they had to move chairs and block it off and
yeah, they
and
took
use
camera
cloth.
Shots that made it look much more full
yeah,
than
right.
it was.
And it was something like 50 people.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. And so I've actually asked Deseret News about this, and Deseret News' only answer was they didn't have one. They just really liked him. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, just thought you should know on that one. Also, Romney asking for more testimony in the whole Barr Mueller circus. So there's that. And of course, I would expect nothing less because he keeps doing that in the press. I think he is building a case for getting rid of Trump. And he always has been. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Where he goes in the news media doesn't surprise me. But
yeah, well, he doesn't have a prayer doing that.
Yes. I do want to talk about housing. I think I would really like to talk about housing. Because this is such an interesting part of the argument, when people use scripture to dignify low-income housing, that always worries me. It troubles me because they clearly don't understand either the scriptures or don't understand low-income housing. But there was an article and it said long awaited.
By who?
I don't know. I don't know who's long awaited, but long awaited affordable housing, as if the whole community is super excited about more low-income housing. And so then people might say, well, are you against somebody getting into something that they can afford? Are you against this? Are you against helping? That's really what the mantra is. Are you against helping? Well, we would like to answer that. I would very much like to answer that. Also in the news, farming is in trouble. Prices are ratcheting up. If you've noticed at the grocery store, and I know you have, I have too. Farming is, they are in trouble. There's huge, huge problems for that. And also there was an article put out by KSL that they were really promoting, was that a raise in minimum wage can reduce suicide rates. We'd like to tackle that gem too, because you know what raises suicide rates? Communism.
Yes.
Socialism.
Mm-hmm.
That raises suicide rates. Did you know that?
It takes away your future and
yes.
you don't care if you
well,
live or die.
Exactly. We'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.
They're open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles. Oh, so much music from that time. Don't you?
Yeah, and that particular song really tugs on me.
Really? Why?
Before that song came out, before I met Judy.
Oh, okay.
And I was dating this girl that I thought I was head over heels in love with. And it was like she wouldn't take it from me.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how those songs just go right back to a moment? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. I hear some Fleetwood Mac. It goes right back to my freshman year of high school, actually, for some reason. Anyway. Welcome back to the show. Of course, you can call 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. It's always of interest to me when the dialogue around something in government tends to be sort of hijacked, if you will, through means of saying that this is how we help others. This is our Christianity effort. This is us doing good. You know, you and I have all heard it, right? Mm. This is us doing good. And I think that that's worthy of a discussion, because we have a new 55-unit apartment complex going in, and it provides, they say, transitional housing. That's not exactly true. It provides permanent housing for St. George's working poor. And so they always call it transitional. I haven't ever seen it that transitional, but that's just me. And so they said when compared, it's a drop in the bucket when compared to 1,800 units. And they say it's a step in the right direction, according to homeless advocates. So what makes that a step in the right direction?
Well, nothing. Absolutely nothing makes it a step in the right direction.
And I'm just asking, because your next question would be... Oh, you guys are so mean. Not actually, because I do want to dissect this. And so St. George Councilman Jimmy Hughes was saying that these people that are working are hardworking. They just can't afford some of our housing prices. So this is needed. And he was talking about Riverwalk Village. That was last November. And they said because even though St. George's economy is doing well, okay, we're doing well, it continues to be one of the fastest growing areas. Why is that? Because people are moving here. But we just don't have houses that poor people can afford. So is this a Christian moment? Because I really do want to dissect this. You know, I have a problem with calling it a Christian moment. Why would I have a problem calling it that?
Because that's not what it is.
Yeah.
You know, when I read this article, the first thing that struck me was, this is not to help homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
This is to maintain a certain standard of living for people.
Right.
Because, you know, there is less expensive mm-hmm. housing.
Sure.
They just don't want to live there.
Right. So they want the same quality.
They want a standard of living that's mm-hmm. higher than they can afford.
Yeah.
And so that's what's being provided in this. I mean, this is a gorgeous place. Look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Community center, pool.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
sure,
they got,
sure.
I don't live in a place that nice.
Yeah.
And it's only helping 55 families.
Right.
Out of the 1,800 they claim that need help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they spent $12 million on these 55 units.
Okay.
If you just took $12 million,
mm-hmm.
you could pay $555 a month towards the rent for all 1,800 people for a year.
Wow.
That's a leg up.
Yeah.
If they can't get it together in a year,
mm-hmm.
oh, well. You
so
know.
That's that part of the problem. The biggest part of the problem is what? The biggest part of the problem is we're calling it a Christian moment where we're helpful. But what is actually being done? The reality of this whole housing thing is that they're taking money from you without your say-so, and they're utilizing it in a Christian moment, I guess, for the city. So the city gets to decide where that money goes, and they get to extract money from you. Okay, so it's not done by you voluntarily. It's not like you're going to go and help build this thing. It's not like you're going to go and help put money in the cup for it out of your own volition, out of your own volunteerism. They will take money from you and then call it your Christian moment, your moment of helping. That isn't what I consider a Christian moment, because they are taking from you, the taxpayer. You have to pay it. Otherwise, you go to jail. You have to pay it. It is forced. So how is that a Christian moment? What Christian moment did you get in all of that? So if you're okay with, let's say I'm talking to a liberal, and I know liberals like this. They say, well, the government's going to, their justification is this. The government's going to take it anyway. So I would like to see it go to these people. Okay. The better issue here would be, or the big issue and the better solution would be that if you wanted to help people on an ongoing situation, not transitional, but I'm talking permanent, because that's what this is, because they usually won't if they can't afford the housing, they're usually going to stay in the remedial job. They're going to try and afford a family on a remedial job. That means not working up the food chain of the jobs that they're in, and then stay there, because if they can get the low income, you stay there. That's what
right.
you would do. Why would you go up? You've got a brand new place, right? It's not the most luxurious place, but it's also a brand new place.
It's pretty nice.
That's pretty nice. So this isn't what I consider helping for the masses. When you want to help, then you go and you help. You either give time, you either give your money, you either put it in a cup if that's what you want to do, but you get the choice. That's what makes it a Christian moment. That's what makes it a moment of actually helping. When people cite scriptures and they say, see, affordable housing, here's a scripture for you to say that we're doing good. That isn't doing good because of the way they have to do it. They have to take it from you in order to make these decisions that you are not a part of. You don't get to control how many units. You don't get to say how many people are helped. You don't. None of that is up to you. They're giving you credit while stealing from you for the money. That's not okay. It's not okay. This is a basic principle of government that's gone wrong.
Well, not only that, but when you say we have 1,800 families that need assistance,
mm-hmm.
and here's 55 we're going to help, who decides who those lottery winners are?
Yeah.
Because that's what those 55 are. They're going to be lottery winners.
Right, right. Right. What if some people in the community really felt like they wanted to help? And let's say they have a basement apartment and they just lowered the fee for it. Let's just say they lowered the fee for it to help
yeah.
somebody in need. That's a Christian moment. You are taking less money from somebody of your own volition, of your own voluntary want and desire, and saying, I'm going to go help somebody. Now, I guarantee you, they're probably not going to move.
Yeah.
You're going to have them there forever.
Yeah.
But because then there's really no necessity of upping the income, unless they're really good savers or good with their money or what have you. And sometimes people are in a transitional position.
Sometimes.
This is why the churches work well, because that's all they're okay
right.
with is transitional.
Right.
And the government seems to go in for the long haul. So the government likes to create dependency. So to call this transitional housing is a joke, because they love the dependency, because now they can justify even more units.
What are we up to now? Four or five generations of people that
mm-hmm.
use public assistance?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a leg up.
No. That's created dependency. And so that's why when left to churches, nonprofits, and people, they tend to make better decisions. You don't see the churches going in for the long haul and creating dependency on this, because they can't. They don't have the resources to do it, nor would they choose to, because they know that that's not how to help you. So if you're in a truly Christian moment, which Uncle Milty and I both are, by the way, if you're in a Christian moment, then you're going to choose to help somebody temporarily, teach them the lessons they need to get on their feet. If that's really what you want to do. But don't justify it by throwing up a scripture of Matthew, like one of the city councilmen did in Washington City, and call that, hey, city, you're helping. You should feel good about yourself today.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel good about myself. That makes me wonder why I'm being taxed for something that that I didn't agree to, and why somebody's taking money from me when they shouldn't be. Because I guarantee you, if there was a huge need and people clamored to help in the city or community, not only would you fulfill that need, because people are pretty interested in helping, the other thing you would do is raise the level of character for those people
mm-hmm.
that would absolutely benefit from doing that themselves.
Well, yeah, you find
out. Not because
out
you use tax
how
dollars.
Come they're in this position to begin with, and what can we do to help fix
yes,
that?
Yes, exactly. Are they looking at a remedial job of flipping burgers to raise five kids and they never want to go up the food chain? Is that what's the deal? Because that's never going to change.
No.
It's all in their thinking. And so if you could sincerely help somebody, great. But shouldn't you do that out of your own desire? Shouldn't you be choosing that moment? This just doesn't make sense when it's taken from you, stolen from you and taxed, and then they're giving you the credit for it. It doesn't make you feel real good. And I'm going to guess that a lot of you didn't feel that warm-hearted feeling when you were reading this article. You know why? Or it didn't last very long because you weren't personally involved in it.
Well, my other curiosity about this is, who actually owns this complex?
Mm.
Is it private investors?
Mm-hmm.
And then is the fact, if it's private investors, then is tax money being used to pay off
mm-hmm.
this through
yeah.
assisted rental?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For people?
They say that this project, this $12 million project, is being spearheaded by the Friends of Switchpoint, the nonprofit group that runs the Switchpoint Resource Center in St. George. But that's usually done through the cities. That's what I'm saying. This wasn't money that Switchpoint just came up with. Switchpoint is given money, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And
but 20 years from now, who's going to own this apartment complex?
Yeah. Yeah. And then donations, they say, in one form. Another was the city of St. George. And thereby, its citizens had invested around $1.3 million in the project.
Well, the city of St. George gave them the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave them the land.
That included the value of the land. Riverwalk Village is going to be built on. The land that they bought with your money.
Yeah.
Funny how they don't circle back on that notion and tell you that in the article. And so this is what Pike said. He wanted Mayor Pike. We want this to work and believe the collective citizens of St. George want this to happen. Boy, collectivism. I hear that a lot with socialism. Is that funny? That same wording always comes up with socialism.
The collective.
Yep. And they said, this is a drop in the bucket. This is what he said. There's more that needs to happen, but this is where it starts. Did you agree when you elected Mayor Pike to come up with, say, 1,800 units for people for permanent low-income housing on the very land that you put your tax dollars in that you didn't get a choice on, as the city did? But you're not this. When they say collective citizenry, you should be very afraid. The collective citizens of St. George want this to happen. Have they polled us? Have they actually asked us?
You know, there's also a reality here that they ignore.
What's that?
When you do these kind of things, you attract more poor people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right now there's 1,800. By the time they build the next 55 units, there may be 2,600.
Yeah.
You can never, ever build enough to help everyone.
No.
Never.
But if you're smart, if the college or other people wanted to give classes on how to have a leg up, how to make things happen
how
for yourself,
manage money.
How to change your situation, wouldn't that then be transitional help to get you in a better permanent position to afford your own without using our tax dollars? Just curiosity right there. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Join Larry Bradley, therapist.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, and do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow?
I love it.
Well, I know that you're
welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Love it. So
good
true.
Song.
Yeah, so true, too. So welcome back, 888-673-1450. We were just talking about this. There was an article that said long awaited by whom I want to know, but long awaited low-income housing, more low-income housing here in our community. And this goes for any community listening. There's a huge problem that we have because there's only two ways for us to go, productivity or plunder. This is plunder. This isn't a moment that we relish as helping. This is a moment where we actually say, why are we being plundered for this money? And why are we having to put it in the context of, you know, deep national American roots is helping by low-income housing? That isn't what's going on here. And I hate to put a wet blanket on the happy helping gurus that are out there that are in city councils, but this isn't the way to help. People need to help, not the cities coming in and deciding how they're going to do it with your money. That isn't helping. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah, I got a little community flyer the other day. They're going to widen my street from two lanes to four lanes.
Right.
But they need my private property to do it.
Ooh.
I wonder when they're planning on telling me all this.
Ouch. Ouch. What's your reaction going to be?
I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to dig into it, Kate.
Well, and the sad part about that is that they get the say-so when it comes to roads. It's really the pathetic part of city governments is city governments can actually do that. They can actually take your property, a portion of it. I know. It's sad. It's sick. Yeah.
I'm getting older. If there's a sidewalk the stretch of my land, do I have to shovel it now?
Good question.
I mean, we're talking a good-sized chunk.
Yeah, good question. I'm actually glad you brought it up. I really am. I watched a movie about this very thing, and it was really hard to watch because people don't get a say, and the city gets to call the shots. I know. Government. Overblown government.
I'll keep you informed.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. It is. It's horrific. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hi, Uncle Melty.
Hi, go right ahead.
I call him Melty because he melts away the veneer of BS on
your
Fed.
Thanks for that. Go ahead.
Hey, this is your correspondent, Daniel, in FEMA Region 9.
California. And, how are you?
Yes, and I heard some news that you might be interested in.
Okay.
They're going to change the name of your town.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to change it. It's St. George. They're going to change it to Commissar Georgie.
Commissar
Georgie. Everything will make sense after they do that.
Yes, it will.
We like
but
transparency.
Really, speaking of commissars, the thing is that all these programs, the real beneficiary is the insiders, the politicians, and the bankers who finance it, because there's got to be a bond issue or something like that.
Yeah.
They're going to be collecting interest on the money they made out of nothing.
Right.
And then, the politicians are going to be some board that's going to oversee this, and they're all going to get six-figure salaries and a big travel budget to go to Beijing for fact-finding or more likely Paris or someplace.
Yep.
So it's really the insider politicians that are going to be the real beneficiaries of this program.
Yep. Yeah, sadly. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to make you sad, but I had to give you a dose of reality.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, if we haven't had enough doses, go ahead.
And you know, I was just mentioning FEMA Region 9 here. 40 years ago when I lived there, I remember the big push to build low-income housing.
So it must have helped them, because that's usually the answer they say.
So there's no problem now with housing for the poor.
In California.
In FEMA Region 9.
So all the tent cities that I'm seeing must be totally...
They're fictitious.
Oh, okay. It's just total illusion.
Yeah, it's a Hollywood thing. Because there's no homeless there now. They built low-income housing
years ago.
But wait a minute.
I thought it was supposed to help. That's the city's argument, is that this is a step in the right direction. They said so themselves. They said that this would help.
You know, there's a reason that homeless people congregate in Southern California, the warm desert.
Yeah.
Because it's warm. They're not as worried about, you know, those few months of the year that it gets a little cold.
Yeah.
Somebody will help them then.
Yes. Yeah.
But in the meantime, they can live on the beach in the summer and do great.
Isn't that interesting? I find that kind of interesting. It doesn't help. But they were saying it helped. And they were saying that this is the solution. And this is how to get more people in. Well, they called it transitional, but I actually don't think that's true. It's permanent housing, and that we should just continue to pay for this. And like you said over the break, when do we get help as the middle class? Why are we always penalized? And I don't mean penalized like I'm crying the blues because we're middle class and we're getting penalized to help people. We should be able to help people with being the middle class of our own desire, not being forced to.
Well, it's the natural progression. Mm-hmm. First, we help the poor.
Yeah.
Then we help the semi-poor.
Right.
Now we're helping the working poor.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in the next decade or so, we might get to helping the middle class poor. Because the middle class is going to be poor at this rate.
Right. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you look back in California, and I know what you're talking about. I lived there. I grew up there. They did big pushes for housing, and then declared it as the answer. Is it the answer? Because I'm looking around and I'm not seeing that it helped anything. In fact, we have increased homelessness. So to say that that's the answer and that we're doing the Christian thing.
No,
we're not doing this. This isn't the Christian thing. The Christian thing would be to utilize our own money to be able to make decisions according to our own desires and beliefs and value systems, to be able to go in and help somebody individually, if that's what you would like to do. Can you imagine if we all did that? That'd be pretty amazing. But what do? We leave it to government. We say, well, there's low-income housing for you.
Well, it is accomplishing one thing. Mm-hmm. It's building a huge base of voters for socialism.
It is. Because they love these programs.
Of course
they actually pat themselves on the back. Not that they did anything, because the money was taken from them, but they'll pat themselves on the back and they'll say, see, I'm doing good because my government decided to use my money for good. That's their argument. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I can't believe you're so cold-hearted.
I know. I've heard that before.
but I'm in my burger flipper job, and I'm going to get this subsidized housing, so now I can live just like other people that make a little bit more money than I do.
Yep.
And then I'm going to demand a living wage.
Yeah.
And then
a new car.
Oh, my job disappeared because they brought in a robot, or they needed to reduce the force to pay the wages of the new higher wages of everybody. But I'll still be in my home that's being subsidized.
Yep.
But now I have no income. So thanks for subsidizing my life.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate that. Great call.
That's typical.
Yeah, I mean,
it really is.
It is. I only make this wage. I'm hoping that they'll raise the rate, right? Because that's what they're asking for, at the cost of those going into business and taking all the risk. It's just amazing how this never stops.
Have you ever actually visited anybody that lived in subsidized housing?
Mm-hmm. I have.
So have I.
Yeah.
And they have some of the nicest furniture and big screen TVs
cell
phones in every hand.
Because they can afford them with the housing.
Well, yeah, somebody's paying your rent, my gosh, the single largest expense you have.
Is that?
It makes a huge difference.
It does.
That's why I tried to be mortgageless most of my life, see?
There you go.
Because I didn't have that problem.
Oh, but you did that out of productivity.
I did it on my own. Yeah, nobody did
it
for
plunder,
me.
Not plunder, productivity. No. Okay. So this goes back to principle, and the principle is really easy, and I know you all know it. I'm preaching to the choir. But it's a principle that a lot of people out there haven't grasped yet, because everything in that article, none of it went back to principle. All of it went back to emotion, and you're helping, and you should feel good about yourself, and hey, you should just be warm-hearted and feeling good that you, citizen, did something for your fellow man, even though we're the ones that did it. We made the decision, and we stole from you to do it.
Yep.
You know, if somebody stole money out of your bank account, okay, stole money out of your bank account, but they did something good with it, and they went and they helped somebody, would you be okay with that? I'm just asking, would you be all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess no, because it's still your money that you get to decide with. The taxes are no different. So it's the same exact thing. They came in, they took money from your bank account and then your paycheck, and they're making these decisions, and they're pretty horrible decisions because they don't solve anything. They don't do anything, and even if they did, it wouldn't be their decision to make. They have no authority to do it.
Would you feel differently if they had way ahead of time said, here's what we'd like to do?
Yeah.
And we're going to try to plan this, and we'll discuss it over the next couple years and see if it works or not. And eventually the people said, yeah, you know, after listening to the last 2 years of planning, and we're for it. But it never happens that way.
And even then, they can't dial it back to principle. They can't justify the authority to do it. And so that land that they just gave up, that they don't want to say is land that they took from you, the citizen, they're going to use that as the catalyst of the city had it. It's kind of like the government has money.
What did they have?
The government has no money. The city has no money unless they take it from you. They don't have a bank account. They only have a bank account because of you, the citizen. So how does that make sense? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Well, I kind of feel dirty just talking at this particular moment because I slipped I slipped through the cracks 11 years ago
mm-hmm.
because I became a prime victim. I was almost murdered. Mm-hmm. I've had 10 surgeries. Mm-hmm. I need two more. My wife divorced me, stole my business. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of money. Now I don't make any money, mm-hmm. and I've been semi-homeless for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I only heard about this switch point thing the same way from reading it in this little newspaper, you get free.
Mm-hmm.
I've jacked up several credit cards in excess of $20,000 because I cannot survive on the little bit of money I get
mm-hmm.
From Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could get some help such as this 55 units or whatever. I'm on no list, mind mm-hmm. you, but now I feel dirty listening to how it's being described. I'm not a socialist by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I ran away from home when I was 16, and I've worked, and I've done a lot of things, but one of the things I did wrong was fly under the radar, so I don't. Mm-hmm. I get $1.98 in Social Security, and I get SSI, which just, I live about $12,000 below the poverty level,
mm-hmm.
and I live off credit card. So, and next month, it's Kaputsky, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, here's Uncle Milty for you. Here's Uncle Milty. He'd like to address this.
I do want to say one thing to you. You are you're not the person we're talking about. You're somebody that sounds truly in need.
Right, but it isn't their authority to do this housing. So there's many, many ways that you could have a leg up. There's many ways that people could come in and address the very issues that you have. But it doesn't mean that the government still has the authority to do this. You said you weren't for socialism, so government doesn't have that authority.
I agree with you on that, and I'm not a socialist, but mm-hmm. but I can't work because I have multiple health issues.
This is where churches and people come to your aid.
Excuse me?
This is where churches and people and nonprofits can come to your aid because they are choosing to do so with their own funds, freely given to them by the people, not the government. So the government isn't your answer. It would be people, nonprofits, and churches would be your answer.
Well,
agreed.
I've been knocking on doors and making phone calls, but I've gone full circle and I'm in the same place, which is nowhere, and I'm scared.
Well, I feel
and
bad.
I'm not young.
I feel bad for your situation, and I hope that people come to help you, and not government style, but just people in general. Yeah. We only have 20 seconds left, so I've got to go. But I really appreciate you calling I really do. There are people in need. There's no reason not to think so. We're not that cold-hearted that we don't understand that. But that's not your answer. Your answer is in people, churches, nonprofits, and people helping you if they so desire to.
And what are the odds
out of
that
their
he's going to be one of the 55?
Yeah. So this isn't what we have to look at is what's not the answer. And the answer is not government. And government feels like they are going to fulfill that role and give you the credit from your stolen money. That's not how this should work. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show on the national show of Dr. Pesta. When we return, stay with us.